Good morning, friends. My name is Zenith, if I haven't met you yet, and I have the great privilege of reading from God's Word today. Today we'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. It'll be great if you have your Bibles open or your Bible apps, but if you don't, feel free to look on with the people around you or follow on in the slides. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we'll grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Thanks, Zenith. Now, Jeremy did a one thing we do at the in our service is a meet and greet, but I thought it might be a good opportunity for us to meet and greet those on Zoom and for you in Zoom to meet and greet those who physically. So, Justin, is there a chance you can actually put that there? Can all those on Zoom actually unzip, and then what we can do is all do a big wave hello to all those in Zoom, right? So can anyone on Zoom, can you sort of show your video so we can all actually, great. So let's do a big wave. And for all those on Zoom, do a big wave. Okay, for those on Zoom now, you can sort of turn your video off if you want. All right. Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, we want to make sure that we're one community, whether you're on Zoom or whether you're here physically. Well, here at CCC, we want to be one community. Let's have a look. Okay, let's have a look at my slide. Can we get my slide up there? Okay, great. We want to be one community where people are growing in Christ, serving love, reaching the world. That is our vision. And that one community, as I think about moving forward, will invariably also be the one community that will have to embrace not only a physical community, but it will also have to, in time, probably embrace a virtual community. Because I think the reality is that as we move forward into the future, this is kind of probably going to be a reality. And as you know, for those of us who've been with this for the last 2 years, we have a pathway, the 4E pathway, about how we want to achieve our one vision. The 4E pathway was engaged, that's connecting with those outside the church, evangelize, bring the good news, establishing them in the faith, and empower them to go and talk to others about Jesus. But back in 2016, it seems we did a survey, the National Church Life Survey, which was conducted nationwide, was doing a survey about churches. How are churches doing? Our church was part of that survey. And as part of this, one of the results was that there was a big, significant group of people who felt that they weren't actually growing in Christ. Now, that was disturbing for many of us here in the leadership team, right? If people are not growing, and that what our vision is to be growing people in Christ, as you see there in our vision, then we've got to ask ourselves, what are we doing wrong? What are we doing wrong? If we've been doing this sort of thing for many, many decades, then obviously something is not working out, which is why people are not growing in Christ. So today is an opportunity, the last few weeks and the few weeks following, is an opportunity to re-look about the way we do things here at CCC. So the big idea that I want to communicate for us today, and which we've been trying to communicate, is that we need to move what we would call from the ministry of the few to the ministry of the pew. That is that you guys here in the pew, right? Put another way, we need to move from the pulpit, to the people. We need to move from the people, from the pulpit to the people. Now, what do I mean by this? Now, we know that churches, those again, if you've been in grown up in this church, you've been to church, you know that at the heart of growing people is the ministry of word and prayer, okay? It's the ministry of word and prayer. But here is the thing, right? Here is the thing. And I don't want you to stone me as a heretic, right? I actually want to say that the sermon, important as it is not enough, right? The sermon, important as it is not enough. I know a lot of times people come to hear the sermon. A lot of times pastors spend a lot of time making sure our sermon's up to scratch, etc., etc. But I actually want to say, and the whole service really turns around the sermon. People come to hear the sermon and then they leave. But I actually want to say that the sermon is not enough. Why is that? Because the ministry of the word and prayer, the key to growing people, is not just the work of a few like pastors and even our growth group leaders. It is actually the work of everyone. You see, the ministry of the word is something which every one of us, if you're a disciple of Lord Jesus, every one of us, without exception, is called to the ministry of word and prayer. Not just the pastors, not just our growth group leaders, not just our Sunday school teachers, our youth pastors, but every single person who is a disciple of the Lord Jesus in this room is called to the ministry of word and prayer. And when I say the ministry, the call to ministry of word and prayer, I don't simply mean that you put money in the collection and support them in meetings and so on. No, what we mean is that we're called to do it. Every single person here is called to the ministry of the word and prayer, not merely to support it, but to actually do it. And then do it. Now, when I'm saying that, I don't mean that anyone's called here to give a 30-minute sermon and things like that. But it is saying that every one of us is called to speak the word of God to each other. And unless we recognize this, unless we come embrace this, then you know what's going to happen? We're going to be expecting more. We're going to be having this certain expectation of our 30-minute sermon, maybe 40 minutes, 30-minute sermon, which really no sermon in the world can actually cut it. And why is that? Because the word, the ministry of the word and prayer has never been confined to a 30-minute sermon. It is much bigger than that. There's a distinction between the ministry of the pulpit, which is a subset of a much bigger ministry, which is the ministry of word and prayer. And so if we want to be growing people, we actually have to change the way we think and the way we do things from simply coming here to hear the sermon to come here and to hear the word of God preached, not just from the sermon, but also from each other. Which is why I keep saying to people, come early, leave late. Not just so you can have your coffee, but so you can speak the word of God to each other. So you can speak the word of God to each other. And it's an important thing because I think if we really come to grips with this idea of the ministry of the word and prayer as something which we are all called to do, then I think we will begin to see that this is a community where everyone is growing in Christ, serving each other in love, and reaching the world. Now, before we move on further, and there's my glasses. Before, let's manage our expectation. Now, normally, for those who've grown up in sort of CCC, we go through our traditional way of preaching the word, which is go through books of the Bible systematically in a structured way. Now, we're going to be, you know, just so that we manage expectation, again, so that people are not going to stone me, we're not going to go, we're going through a topical, that we're going to focus on this sort of thing. We're going to zip through a lot of different passages. There are times when it's worthwhile going through topicals and looking at sort of skimming through different passages because no one verse will ever say everything you need to know. And so it's worthwhile to skim through a whole range of different topics, particularly on this question of how do we grow people in Christ? Now, just to also reassure you, the rest of the year, we will be going back to our traditional way of doing things. We're looking at the book of Job, we're looking at Isaiah, and we're looking at Colossians. I think after this series, we're going to look through the letter Colossians. Then later on, we're going to do a big overview of the whole Bible. Then after that, we're going to look at Job, and then Isaiah, and then Christmas, and wow, then 2023. Ain't that crazy? 2023 is just around the corner. So let's have a look at the key points. Three key points I want to highlight today. Three key points. One of them, they're there. The key to growth is the word and prayer. The key to growth is the word and prayer through the pastors as well as through the leaders. The key, that's actually quite wrong, I think. Okay, we'll change that one. Okay, I don't know what happened there. Okay, let's have a look at that one. Let's have a look at the first point. That's why, you know, I can't get it when Jonah says one of the Asian languages is English. It's not. It's maths and science. All right? He's maybe more white than I recognize it. Right, the first thing, the key to growth is the word and prayer. Now, we do need to go back to basics. The key to growth is the word and prayer, right? And I want to go back to a well-known passage, which I'm very fond about. It's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. This is a letter that our missionary statesman leader Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, and this is his mission statement. But I want you to notice how he sees growth. What he sees is growth. He is the one proclaim. At the heart of growing people is actually the proclamation of the word of God. That word of God is the Lord Jesus, right? And so you notice what he says to this very end in verse 29. So everything's focused on proclaiming Jesus to each other if you want to actually grow people, right? But notice what else Paul says in verse 29. What does he say here? We do this with the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. That is to say that he recognizes that he can't do it on his own. He needs Jesus to be at work in him. So not only is Jesus the content of his message, Jesus the goal of his message, but Jesus is the power behind his message, right? But the highlight there is we need prayerful dependence. Paul can't do it on his own. He needs to prayerfully depend on the Lord Jesus to be able to present people perfect in Christ. And I would dare say you can understand that because to present people perfect in Christ is much harder than climbing Mount Everest. Now, that's tough, but to present someone perfect like Jesus is not easy. So that's at the heart of what we want to do. We want to be, and it highlights the idea that at the heart of Christian growth is the word, that is the proclamation of Jesus, and also prayer, prayerful dependence on the Lord Jesus who animates us. So here's the question. This is what we've been doing for years. So where is our problem? And our problem is the second one. Now, that should be through people, not leaders. They go through people. The last word, scratch that. I don't know if you can change that to people, Justin. Can you change that and put leaders and put people there? And this, just do it. Okay. Oh, thank you, right? Oh, that's right. Thank you, Justin. Actually, now I think you just wrecked my sort of thing. Let me see if I got it right. Okay. Let me just make sure it's there. People, right? Not yet. Hasn't been then. That's all right. People. That is to say, what have we been doing wrong? The key to growth is the word is through people and not just the pastors, right? So that's the big point. And again, have a look at Colossians 1, 28 and 29. You got it? Okay. There's that passage. But I want you to have a look at this passage. Now, I want you to look at the last part of that letter which Paul wrote. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, this is what Paul says. Notice what he says here, right, in verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell in among you richly. Note that phrase. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Now, what's astonishing about that? And astonishing about that is that they are called to do what Paul and his colleagues are doing as well. Just as Paul is to be proclaiming Jesus, admonishing teaching with all wisdom, so the church at Colossae are to do likewise to each other. They are to admonish, they are to teach with all wisdom. In other words, what's Paul saying here? And let's join the dots. What Paul is saying here is the preacher, the pastor from the pulpit, our growth group leaders, our Sunday school team are not simply there to feed you, that is through the word, but to model to you what you should do to each other. What I proclaim to you and how I proclaim it, not necessarily with my hand waving, but how I proclaim it is what you are called to do to each other. Do you realize that? Now, that is our problem. The problem is, oh, I come hear the sermon, we give it a rating out of 1 to 10, but then we go home and do nothing with it. But really what Paul's saying, no, that's not how it works. The new model how we do ministry and see people grow is that what you hear, you are to do to each other. As I have proclaimed to you Jesus, you are now to do that to each other. As I teach you, you are to teach others. As I admonish you, you are to admonish others. As I seek to do it with wisdom, you are to do that with each other. We are to model that. And so you see there, as you teach and admonish with all wisdom. And that comes back to the point here, right? That the ministry of word and prayer is not just that of few, but it's everyone. Everyone is called to do this. Now, for those who are much more theologically attuned and in mind, we call this what is known the priesthood of all believers. That's the language. Now, in the history of the church, there were certain priests. You want to talk to God, you go to the priest, okay? You want to get forgiveness in, you go to the priest. The priests were the hotline to God. But during the Middle Ages, there was a whole reformation, and we came to realize that we are all priests. Every single disciple of Jesus is a priest. You know what that means? You are called to declare God's word to each other, not just me. You are a priest. You are called to declare the word of God. That's what priests did in the Old Testament. They declared the word of God. You are a priest to declare the word of God to each other. And a priest would hear the prayers of people, and they would pray for the people. You are to pray for each other. You are to pray for each other, right? The only difference between you and me, do you know what the big difference you and me is? One, I have more time and I get paid to do what you're supposed to do, right? I have more time and I get paid to do what you get to do for free. How's that, hey? Isn't that great? That's a great joy that you have. You do it for free, I get paid to do this. What greater privilege you have than for you to do it free? I wish I was doing your position, honestly. Now, but I want you to see this, how this is highlighted again. Have a look at Colossians 3:16. See, this point is emphasized. One another. You see that? One another. Now, this whole idea is played out and illustrated powerfully in the New Testament. Illustrated. Let me give you some examples. And we're going to zip through some of them very quickly. Husbands and wives. Husbands and wives. Notice what it says here, right? Husband, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make a holy cleansing by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a reigning church. What did Jesus do for his bride, the Cinderella, or the Drusilla that we talked about last week? He actually was to present her perfect. How? Through the washing of water, through the word. Now, this is focused on what Jesus does, but I suspect that as husbands who are to be like Jesus, what are we to do? Do exactly the same thing. We want to present our wives perfect in Jesus. How? Through the word. There is an idea here that husbands are called to disciple his wives. Now, all are the husbands here. I heard all the husbands. Now, you don't have to put your hand up. I know we're sort of quite ashamed. But here's the thing. Are you praying for your wife? Are you helping them to understand the word of God? Are you discipling your wife? You see, it's not just for me to speak to your wife. Really, the ministry of the word and prayer extends itself to the husband. You guys, husbands, have been called to do the word and prayer. Who to? To your wife. There are a lot of things I cannot say to your wife, but you can say, all right? Because, you know, I've got them for 30 minutes from this pulpit. You got them 724. Now, I don't know which is the easier, probably for my role, right? But that's how it works, isn't it? The husband's role is to bring the word of God and to pray for your spouse. Are your husbands doing that? Are your husbands doing it? Because I tell you what, if the husbands did that, we have a lot more happier women in our church. Would that be right? Yeah? There's silence here because the wives are not allowed to speak. Oh, okay, sorry. Let's have another one, okay? Fathers, okay, parenting. Fathers, the ministry of the word and prayer extends in the family, not in the marriage, but also parenting. Look at what Paul says. Fathers, do not exasperate. Instead, what? Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. What is the calling to fathers? They are called to be involved in the ministry of word and prayer. How? In training, in bringing up their, in bringing them in the training and instruction of the Lord. Parents or fathers, more specifically, are you actually discipling your kids? Are you proclaiming the word of God to them? Are you praying for your kids? What I do here, you fathers, are to do to your kids. Scary thought, isn't it? For you fathers to be, what I do here and what you do in the growth groups, you are to do to your kids. And can I say also for Sunday school teachers? For parents, it is not just the Sunday school's responsibility to disciple the kids. It is your responsibility. What the Sunday school teachers do, you are to do, and you have a better, you have a great advantage because you have them 24/7. Well, have a look at this one. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which you first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Likewise, what's it saying there? Timothy here was disciple who by? Who was the ministry of the word and who brought the word and prayer to him, to Timothy? It was his mother. It was his grandmother. It was his mother and grandmother who discipled him and brought him to faith. And so Paul looks back on the life of Timothy and he's indebted to the mother and the grandmother. You can see here that the growing people needs to change from just thinking about the pastor to thinking about the husbands, to thinking about the parents, to thinking about the mums and the grandmothers, the generational. Oh, look at this one here. Titus' letter to Timothy, letter to Titus. Notice what he says here about women in verse 4. He is to teach the older women. And what are they supposed to teach the older women? Notice what he says in verse 4. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled. One of the reasons that we want to bring the congregations together to give this opportunity for the older women to bring the word and prayer to the younger women. But it's not just the women, it's also the men who will minister and disciple the younger men in our congregation. So I was tickled pink when Dan told me that Bruce and Jamie were going to do the young families. And I have to say, I won't call you out, Jim and Jeanette, but I saw you praying with a couple of the last couple of Sundays, and I thought that was what we want to see. That's the ministry of word and prayer. What I do from the pulpit, you are to do likewise to each other. So that's why you come to church, not just to hear the sermon, but to hear the word proclaimed from the sermon and from each other. You want to come not just to hear the prayers, but to pray with each other. That's our second point. And sorry, you've got to put people there, but oh, you did. Oh, you're awesome. The key to growth in the world and prayer through pastors as well as through people. But that comes to my third point. The key to growth is the word and prayer through the pulpit, and use the word beyond the pulpit. Beyond the pulpit. Beyond the pulpit, right? And the point here is that the ministry of the word and prayer cannot be confined to this small time slot. Because if it is, you tell you what, most of you will go away feeling ripped off and shortchanged, because a 30-minute sermon, 40 minutes at most, can only do so much. But if you come here to think about the word and to speak the word of God to each other and pray for each other, everyone who comes here to speak the word and will go, everyone will be blessed. But it's also not only that, because there are many people who never come and darken our doorsteps. And so the word of God and prayer needs to go beyond the 30 minutes. How about this great passage here? This highlights an account where Philip, one of the early disciples, he's going out talking to people about the word of God and praying. And he's instructed to go up to this road here. And listen to the account here. Listen to the account. This is picking up in Acts chapter 8. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandak, which means queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, was sitting in his chair, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord told Philip, go to that chair and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chair and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. You hear the story here. Here's a guy who's really trying to read the Bible and just doesn't get it. I don't get it. But guess what? By God's grace, God put him there. He turns and he says to Philip, go, you know, have a chat with this guy. And God says, you know what you're reading? I said, I don't get it. And then he invites Philip, and Philip begins to unpack the word of God to this guy. And guess what? He gets converted and then goes back on his merry way back to Ethiopia celebrating. Do you realize there are a lot of people who come and hear the sermon, and guess what? I'll preach for 30 minutes to Dan and Winston, and still a lot of people go, I don't get it. I don't get it. There are questions that didn't answer. Who is he going to talk to with his question? Me? Well, get a number and wait in line, all right? But they can also talk to each other, can't they? You can talk to each other. A lot of people come to church with a lot of questions, unanswered questions. Who can they talk to? You know who they can talk to? To each other. To each other. To you guys. Because you're all called to the ministry of word and prayer. You're called not simply as a supporter, but to do it. You are what I do. You are to do likewise to each other. Have a look at this other passage. This is awesome, this passage. Then notice what it says. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me who is the prophet talking about himself. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Let me highlight another passage. This is Apollos. Apollos is one of colleagues, Paul's colleagues later on. And this is what Paul... He is a pretty gifted preacher. Listen to what it says. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. So here was a guy who was really gung-ho about the gospel, didn't understand it. He only heard half the story, right? Only half the story. And listen what goes on. He began to speak boldly in the synagogues. Now, note this. When Priscilla and Aquila, now who are those people? We don't know. They were just assistants to Paul. They were not pastors, not preachers. They were not church leaders. They were just people who were good fellow workers with Paul. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. You see what's going on here? Here was a guy who's so gung-ho and so on fire for Jesus, but he knew it. These guys, Priscilla and Aquila, heard it, say, hold it, this guy's so serious, but he hasn't got it correct. Hey, why don't you come back to my place for coffee, okay? I didn't know how coffee, and let me explain it. And he explained it, and they explained it to him. See, there are a lot of people here who've got ideas but don't fully get it. Who's going to help them sort that out? You know who? You guys are going to help them sort it out. Because what I do from the pulpit in a 30, 40-minute sermon can only go so far, but it needs to be supplemented, complemented by who? You guys. So that people who come may miss the sermon, but they'll still hear the word of God because we are here to be involved. We're all here to call to do the ministry of the word and prayer, not just the pastor. And not just in our 30-minute time slot up here. And what other way can we do the ministry of word and prayer? You know what the other way we can do it? Letters. What is the most astonishing way in which God has blessed people? It's through Paul's letters, Peter's letters, Jude, James, letters. Now, we don't know how to write letters these days. I think, when was the last time you wrote? I had to ask some of my kids, do you know what a stamp is? But they do. Hey, Jono, you know what a stamp is? You've seen one. You know what an envelope is? Right, just one. Okay, so I want to make sure. There was a grew up in a generation. Now we don't do that. But we use, what do? We use texting, emails. We use Zoom. We can minister to people here on Zoom. Hello, you guys on Zoom. I can see David and Tony. I can see Mike and Pat and Willie. We're people on Zoom, and we can still minister to them on Zoom. See, there's so many different ways in which you can do the ministry and word and prayer, not just in the sermon, but beyond. That comes to my last that point. The key to growth is the word of prayer through the pulpit and beyond the pulpit. So those are my three points that we want to see. You see, this is our vision. The vision is to be one community where people grow in Christ, serving love, reaching the world. We have our 4E pathway. But where does it, how do we do it? It is through the word and prayer. It is through pastors and people. Yes, you are awesome, Justin. And it's from the pulpit and beyond the pulpit. You see, this is an important thing. It happens everywhere. It happens everywhere. It happens during the week. It happens, guess what? Over coffee. It happens over coffee, right? And what do you talk about over coffee? You talk about Christ over coffee. It happens as you catch the bus to work and from work. It happens on email. Happens in a text message. Happens over lunch. Happens in casual conversations. If we're going to see, take seriously this whole vision of being one community where people grow in Christ, serving love, we've got to change the way we do it. It's not just the pastor, it's people. It's not just 30 minutes, it's beyond that. So what do we need to do? Here's three things you need to do. You need to own it, you need to equip, and you need to do. You need to own it. In other words, it's not something I do, it's something you got to do. You got to own that. Are you prepared to own it? And here's the thing, are you equipped to do it? Do you know how to speak the word of God to each other? And then if you know, and if you don't, I want to actually say that here's a great thing, one-to-one Bible reading by David Helm. Good book, simple book. And I want to encourage you to write, read it, buy it, read it, practice it, all right? So you got to own it, equip yourself to do it, and then do it. And of course, then when we have that card, remember what we said about that loving your church card? Three things, three categories: speak, think, and talk. Pray. Pray, think, and speak, right? Pray, as you come to church, pray for the congregation. Pray for those involved. Pray for yourself who you can actually bring the word of God to and pray for. Think about when you come, think about who you can talk to and then actually talk to each other, right? So here's one thing I want you to do for next week. I want you to do those sort of things. Next week when you come to church, well, pray. Pray for opportunities. Pray for the congregation. Pray for all of us who are preaching and doing all the different stuff. Pray for an opportunity to go and speak to someone, bless someone with the word and pray with them. Think then. And then actually, when you come to church, then do it. Okay, let me pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the opportunity, for the fellowship, for all of us here, Lord. You've brought us together. You want us to grow in Christ. You want us to serve each other in love. You want us to be reaching the world. And Father, you have placed in us the key to growth, which is your word and prayer. We pray, Lord, that we own that ministry. Help us recognize that we are called to that ministry in our different ways. Help us to equip ourselves and to do it, Lord. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.